Hello and welcome to Center for Victory's podcast of your best day yet. At Center for Victory, we're here to help unlock, reinforce, and enrich relationships through personal and professional development. I'm Eric Guy, Chief Victory Officer here at the Center for Victory. With me again today is Mr. Caleb Kolb. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
All right. And we're going to talk about, we've already talked about our adventures
yeah.
a little bit over this summer, but one that we talked about last time was Fuji. We're going to go into the canyon. So we went from the cold wind and rain right into the heat.
Over 100 degrees in the canyon.
Yeah. And, you know, and one of the things that I think strikes me with the canyon, that is not for the faint of heart. That was probably the hardest, one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yep. Yeah. The canyon
in
is,
my life.
Yeah. The canyon is for sure the single hardest day, like the hardest single day of any trip that we offer. I mean, it's 24.6 miles in one day from the north rim of the canyon to the, you know, to the south rim. It is a butt kicker.
Yeah, and it's not flat.
No, it's not.
You're going down. What are you going down, six and coming up eight?
Or yeah, so I mean, you're going down. Golly, to so I mean, to from the north rim to Phantom Ranch is about 14, and then you head out and you start heading up towards Havasu Pie or Indian Garden, and then from there, you know, everybody's like, oh. 4.5 miles left. We've already gone 20, but then it's all, you know, switchbacks up to the top.
So. And those are probably the most wicked switchbacks I think I've been on.
Yeah.
There was one where I actually started second guessing myself. Like, am I going the right way?
Yeah.
Like I knew I was going the right way, but I still started. I'm like, I don't know. Like, was there something that I missed?
Yeah. And that's the thing that, you know, we tell people there's really only one wrong turn that you can make in the canyon is if after going over the Colorado River, after you go over the bridge, you have the opportunity to turn left, which would be South Kaibab Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the opportunity to turn right, which is Bright Angel. And there was no water up the South Kaibab, and the rest of our crew is going up Bright Angel. So that's the one thing you want to make sure you take the right over after the Colorado River, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, there's a couple of neat things. We went, you took a, you know, there was a group, a company that went, that was fascinating, and they'll be on a podcast here soon as well. That was really cool to see them.
Yeah.
He's given me permission now. I keep talking about him on podcasts, just different things here and there, because I was just fascinated with this team from a leadership perspective.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of young people, leader Brian Hess from the Pavement Group. He's given me permission now to use his name.
That's probably something I should think about. I just started now. I'm just name drop anyone. Yeah. Like, permission for that.
And his team of young people, you know, I always, yeah, because you know the big thing nowadays with companies is like we can't keep young people engaged. These folks were locked into his leadership, it's fascinating. And you know he'll say it's not all him, but I mean he's a big part of it for sure. They are locked into his vision. But anyhow, what got me thinking about it is I was with him pretty much the whole day.
Yeah,
I think because we were, you know. We were pushing the age average up, he and I, and we were bringing it down. And, you know, so that was kind of weird being the older guy now.
Yeah,
I used to be the younger guy. But, you know, it said they did a video, and I think in that video it said, hey, look, and I've heard this a lot, you know, you go in the canyon one way and you come out and you're a different person, you're a different man when you come out.
Yeah.
And like there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there?
There's a lot of truth.
And how many times have you done that with people? So
we go so we do two trips a year typically, and maybe doing more next year.
Right.
Typically we do a September trip and a May trip. And we've done that the last 3 years. And then Sarah and I, you know, as guides, before we can guide any trip, we have to to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we did it as clients as well. So, like we were talking about a little bit when we were talking about Fuji, I mean, the Grand Canyon is just every trip is something new and you see something you haven't seen before. And there's, you know, you pass a lot of people that are doing this without guides that are wearing blue jeans and have one water bottle. And you're just like, oh boy, you know, like, so, but to your point, I think that is the, really, I think the Grand Canyon is the number one trip that we do where it is, it's one day, you know, as far as like transformation, you know, just getting through that, experiencing that, and just, you know, it does, it changes people. And, you know, as a guide, that's what I love. That's what I like to see. And I'm typically, you know, I'm typically in the back, they call, you know, I'm the caboose, you know? Yeah. So, you know, the guys, the folks that are doing really well typically aren't walking with me, right. You know, it's typically, people that are having, you know, are walking a little bit slower or having some pains or, you know, things like that. And so, it's just really, cool to see that, you know, those folks get through that and get out on the other side. And they're like, you know, everybody says like, it is, you know, oh, it's like cliche to say that, but it is, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about that, when we say a day hike, it is, I'm talking like, it's not your 8-hour work day.
Yeah.
This is, you're dropping in. We dropped in at 5 a.m. It was dark. It was, I was cold.
It's cold. It's typically on the north rim of the canyon when we're dropping in, it can be around like around 40 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what you're starting with. So and you have to pack accordingly. You have to pack and plan accordingly for essentially 40 degrees to over 100 degrees, you know, so.
Yeah. And I think the big thing there is, it's, you know, we dropped in at 5 a.m. We got out at 9 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
And you were a little bit later, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you were bringing up the tail. But that's fast. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah. That's, we were moving. I mean, we were walking. You know, we try to tell our clients is every hour, at least every, and everybody's different, you know, but what I try to tell my clients is every hour, let's stop, we'll hydrate. You know, electrolytes and salt tabs are very important in the Grand Canyon. You're losing, you're sweating a lot, you know, and so being able to replenish your body. And then really on the uphill, you know, what you see will happen to people a lot is like, you know, that last 4.5 miles, they just want to get through it. And so they're trying to go as fast as they can, but you know, what happens is they may do one or two switchbacks and then they need to take a 10-minute break and then one or two switchbacks and take a 10-minute break. And so, you know, what I've found to be more successful is kind of like the tortoise and the hare is, hey, let's just walk. I'll set the pace. You know, let's just walk slow enough that you and I can have a conversation mm-hmm. together and not be out of breath. So if that's just barely moseying along, where we're talking, you know, it's kind of taking your mind off the pain a little bit. We're not getting out of breath. Then we can actually pass those people that are zooming and taking a break and zooming and taking a break. And, you know, a lot of that rest step, pressure, breathe, staying hydrated. So it is the Grand Canyon is just such a, unique combination of like these adventure trips all packed into one day, you know, where your emotions are a roller coaster, your physical, how you're feeling is a roller coaster, you know, which all culminates with, you know, when you get out, depending on the time, either ice cream or pizza, you know,
it could be a whole pizza.
It could be a whole pizza. Yeah. You know, like some of my friends.
Yeah. I mean, it a big pizza. Thank you, Kevin, for that. He's like, I got pizza. I'm like, Kevin, you are the man.
Dude. every time that's because I, like I said, I've been, I think the quickest we got out of the canyon, I think it was maybe 10 and a half hours. And then I've been in the canyon for 20 hours and also a 21 hour trip. So, you could be spending a lot of time in there and there's pros and cons to that. You know, yeah. If you're in there for 21 hours, you get to witness, you know, the beautiful stars of the Grand Canyon. You only have to wait a couple minutes to see a shooting star.
Right. So, well, that is a good positive. I mean, I think of them, you know, obviously it's physical. I mean, that the physical piece, you know, you watch people go through there, you see people that aren't prepared or even are prepared or whatever, just having a very rough time of it. I mean, you know, and it's not for the faint of heart. I can see why they have so many, you know, fatalities and injuries there, because there were a lot of people that, you know, just weren't prepared. You know, saw a couple people wearing flip flops. I'm like, you know, the one lady that was kind of wobbling, remember that we had passed, that was,
you see it all every, the last three times that I've done the Grand Canyon, every trip we've stopped to, you know, that somebody that's not on our team is just really, really struggling. I mean, that, all right, hey, do you have electrolytes? Do you have water? Do you have food? Like, where are you? All right, well, let's get you out of the sun. Let's get you hydrated. You know, that just, it is, it's like, you know, it's a preparation thing. You have to be prepared. Prepared. And I think, you know, what was cool about the team that we were on, with the pavement group, is I thought they did a great job. And we had a lot of team calls ahead of time. We all went to public lands and, you know, went through gear that we use. And they did, you know, that team was amazing. They really did well, you know, so.
And it was nice, I think, for us, you know, a couple of things. What was nice was, you know, having somebody like K2 Adventures that has, I mean, done it so many times. You got somebody, I mean, Kevin, next year, he's, you know, he's going to be climbing Kilimanjaro for the 50th time. I don't know how many times he's been through the canyon. That has to probably be more than that.
They're on their way to the canyon right now.
Yeah.
So when I was on the phone with Kevin and Kristen on the way here, when I was walking in here, and they were on their way for their last Grand Canyon trip of the year. And I can't imagine. That's, you know, that's one of the things that's great about, you know, K2 and guiding for K2 is they Kevin and Kristen have a great kind of leadership dynamic, and they've done these trips to the point where it's just perfect. I mean, it's just everything is we know what we're doing, you know, we have an answer, and it's just smooth. It's smooth. And it's hard to make, you know, a 25-mile hike from 40 degrees to over 100 degrees and possibly 20 hours smooth, you know, but they got it down.
This one was kind of special for me, just because my wife, Tammy, went, and, you know, there was a lot that she prepared. The preparation was actually fun with her, because they gave us a lot of time to walk. I mean, there were times around the park where we, you know, did 6, 7, 8 miles or, you know, we're going, you know, and the little hike we did even to prep even the week before, I mean, just getting out and going and doing that. But to have that, now I don't think she's going to want to do it again. She's like, this is a one and done. But, you know, when you can consider all that she's overcome.
Yeah.
Right. And just the mental piece.
Yep.
You know, very, very, very proud of both of us going through, but very proud of her doing that.
Yeah.
You know, if people read my book, you know, you find out that, you know, when she was very young, she had, when she was pregnant with our daughter, who is now 22.
Yeah.
She had a stroke. And I'm not talking a little one. I'm talking about full left side paralysis with on meds. And she has just been determined. And that's part of what we do here. I mean, that's part of my teaching, the neuroscience, all that. You know, that's what drove all those things, is to be, you know, to be a champion. And, you know, she did that. And, you know, we were struggling at the end. And I was like, we're doing this together. That's having that person to go through that together. And obviously having you and your wife, Sarah, that encouraged us to go do that. You know, we're like, hey, like, let's do this. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
But having somebody else to, you know, just be aside, to be encouraging you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, their team, right. That was pretty neat to see. I mean, we had our own.
That was such a fun team dynamic. I mean, the I've never done that trip and been like, the bus ride was one of the most fun things, you know, like the bus ride was so super fun, just getting to know everybody and interacting. And it seemed like as we went on, you know, if there was somebody that you know, needed an extra salt tab or didn't have it, but had electrolytes or something, you know, or sunscreen or whatever it may be, like, you know, somebody's got something for everybody. And that was a really cool, you know, really cool, just that team dynamic was awesome.
Yeah, I was talking to actually Brian yesterday, the owner of that company, and I was saying it was so neat to watch you guys go through that, cheer one another on, and at the end, very inspirational, because he was one of the last ones out, and we were all in the van together.
Yeah.
And all his folks.
Yep. Came all out, of
them.
Yeah,
and some of them had been
probably asleep, you know, probably watching.
One guy was in his underwear, came out to cheer him.
Yes, which is
not just him, I mean everybody,
they were there. And that's something that, you know, that those teams, we've done teams like that, that just, that hasn't happened, you know. That was the first time, like, we got out of the van, you know, we're just happy that we got some pizza. And everybody starts coming out of the hotel rooms and clapping and cheering. And, you know, it was great. It was super encouraging. You know, for sure.
And, you know, I know you don't have cell service throughout the whole canyon until you get to a 3 mile house.
Yeah. Yeah.
About there. And you know, one of the, owners and founders of K2, Kevin, who we've already talked about. I mean, he's like, hey, look, call me when you get here. And
right.
And yeah, I'm like, God, if I'm calling him, I'm close.
Right. Right. Right.
And then it's like, okay. Then he said, he's like, keep going. And he was very encouraging. I'm glad
you guys are doing great. Yeah.
Keep going. Call me when you hit this. I'm like, wow, he really knows this. Cause there were markers and I can't even remember the markers.
Oh,
he's
like,
you're going to get to this next. Give me a call when you get there.
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
He's got,
when am I going to see you?
He's got the signs laid out, 3 mile house, mile and a half house, you know, two tunnels, boom, Culp Studio.
Yeah. I can't remember what he said, either the first or second tunnel. When you hit the first tunnel, give me a call. Let me know where you're at. And then he's like, hey, I got pizza for you. And yeah, a lot of that stuff I usually don't and can't eat.
Yeah.
But I
especially
housed,
after that. Yeah.
I housed that whole pizza and I was so hungry. I mean, that, you know, when you go through it, I remember getting to what's kind of the first big stop we had, that 5 miles.
Cottonwood.
Yeah.
Or so, yeah. Cottonwood, Manzanita. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But man, I told Tammy, I'm like, I am starving. Cause it's only 5 miles in. It's not even.
What did you bring to eat? Like, what did you,
what
did you guys pack through the canyon to eat? And this is actually, you know, this is a big thing that we talk about, because a lot of times people will bring way too much stuff, and you know, ounces equal pounds equal pain, you know? And so like, people are beat up and it's like, well, I've got, you know, X amount of pounds of beef jerky and this and that and bars and things like that. What did you guys carry when you went through?
So that was the first time I had one in probably 4 or 5 years, was those Crustables. Those
peanut butter
and jelly.
It's
the first time I had a peanut butter and jelly in years, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, those are I see.
I slammed, I think, three of those as soon as I got to Manzanita.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, and then I ripped open the beef jerky, ate half of that. I was like,
yeah,
because I'm used to fasting all day.
Right.
Right. And again, I didn't do that. They, you know, because
right.
She's like, you know, Kristen, and more so Kristen was, and Kevin, but more so Kristen was saying, hey, look, you know, if you're doing that kind of stuff, this is the time to cut that out, because
your body needs energy. Calorie. It's fuel. You need to fuel your body.
I think I had a couple oranges. I had a banana.
Yeah.
I didn't have. I think I just had one granola bar left when we got out.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I was like, because everybody's different. And even me and my wife pack, like, our bags are completely different bags of like what we eat, and everybody's, you know, packs different things. And I've made, you know, and you learn as you, so the first time that Sarah and I did this together, I was bringing those, like the protein bars, with the chocolate. Well, you know, when you get to Phantom Ranch and take that out of the wrapper to eat it, it's just completely melted. So, you know, you got to learn and adjust as you go. And that's one of the mistakes that I make because I'm a bigger guy. Like I would bring way too much food. And so now I've kind of got it down to a science on, okay, this is what I need in my pack. And so.
Yeah. And then plenty of course, the salt tabs, which. The electrolytes. I mean, we had been, you know, Tammy and I both planned that. We had been for months prior to the canyon. I mean, I took the electrolytes at Fuji too, but we had planned on that and tried several different ones to get it dialed in.
Yeah,
but you're just not used to that, right?
Right.
And I saw, you know, I was just out in Columbus this past weekend for the marathon. Out there, and I saw all the people cramping up, and I could just hear again, like Kristen haunts me.
Yeah,
like it's like get your salt tab in. Yeah. And we talked about that with Fuji about being coachable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, is she just like a drill sergeant?
Right,
but then you start listening to it. So, well, she must know what she.
Wow, I'm glad.
Well, that's why she runs.
Yep, that's why. I call Kevin and Kristen. Yeah. They're the varsity team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So on all these trips, like Kevin and Kristen, they're the varsity team. And you know, I we say, you know, my wife and Kelly, it may be the JV. I'm just the water boy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just in the back, like, hey, encouraging people. But Kevin and Kristen have been doing this for a long time. They know their stuff. I mean, especially when, you know, try this stuff out. If you're doing this, you know, try your gear, try your electrolytes, try everything ahead of time, because you know, we were lucky we had a element, however you say their electrolyte brand. They've sponsored us on some of these trips that we've done. And there's 1,000 milligrams of sodium in those. You know, there's, I think, 200 milligrams of potassium. I don't know off the top of my head, but they're really great. But if you've never had one before, it's like drinking ocean water, you know. So if that upsets people's stomach, you know, you don't want to try something for the first time if you can help it in the bottom of the canyon with 14 miles to go and 100 degrees, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that preparation and – you know, you mentioned it was over 100 degrees. You know, I said 120 yesterday, and Brian from the pavement group corrected me. He's like 122 to be exact. I mean, that was hot. I mean, and you know, I don't want to hear that it's like a dry heat. That was hot. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like, it was hot.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat though.
Yeah, like put on a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And
get some weight in it. You know, that's what we try to limit the amount of weight that people take. But it is like, you know, for the guys, they're carrying, you know, a full med kit, a satellite phone, mm-hmm. the walkie talkies, you know, I try to carry extra everything. I try to carry an extra bottle of water, extra food for whatever. And it'll hit you.
Yeah. Cause I mean, when we got to Phantom Ranch, I'm like, oh, and you see that thermometer.
I'm hoping that thing was broken.
Yeah.
Like that's a like, record thing. Wow,
and literally, I mean, I've been telling people, like, they're like, what's it like? I'm like, well, let me tell you what it's like. Anytime I saw water, I took my whole shirt off and doused it in 100%. Water and threw it right back on. And within 30 to 45 minutes, that thing was dry.
Yep. Yep.
You can't even fathom it unless you see it.
Yeah. And like, you know, one of the things we were saying is Eric looks a lot more tan than I do on this video. Like, I get sunburned really easy. And so like for me, you know, I wear a long sleeve hooded sun shirt throughout the canyon, and I have my hat and I wear a boof typically. And the same thing, anytime I have water, I'll like completely drench like a shirt, my boof, get my hat in the stream, put it on. And it's like, all right, 30 minutes later, it's like, wow, how is this dry again?
So what do you think it does to people? Again, going back to, hey, look, when you go in the canyon, you're not the same person coming out. Again, cliche, but a lot of truth. What does it do for a person to be able to do that?
Yeah, and I think this is something, it doesn't have to be the Grand Canyon. We've done a lot of trips I did one with the client that it was just a bicycling trip. We did the Gap Trail. We've done local hiking stuff. And so it doesn't have to be the Grand Canyon, but the one reason that I think the Grand Canyon is so, you know, that a lot of people feel this way when they finish is, number one, a lot of people have never done something like this before. So you have to train for this. There's a lot of preparation that goes into it. You know, what we talk about is legs, lungs, and bum. You know, you gotta train for this, because it is, if you're not prepared, it's going to make it even worse. And so, you know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into this, but just the roller coaster of emotions, I think, that people go through, you know, when you start in the dark and potentially finish in the dark, it is a long day and you're moving the whole time. And, you know, psychologically, it's like you drop down into the canyon, the bus is leaving you. Mm-hmm. You know, the bus is going all the way around down to the south rim to get you, you know, so.
And that's a 4.5 hour trip.
Yeah. I mean, it's by vehicle. It's a long haul. And so I think it's like, oh boy, like we're doing this, you know, you're going in and, you know, unless you're paying for a helicopter or something, it's, you know,
that's the only way to get out.
Yeah. You're making it through. And so, you know, as you go through the canyon and we go, you know, Cottonwood, Manzanita, and start heading into Phantom Ranch, a lot of times by Phantom Ranch, it's where we stop for lunch. But, you know, people are, they're feeling tired and sore now, you know, and they've gone downhill. We start going downhill. So this is kind of what we talked about when we were talking about Fuji is, you know, it's different for everybody, but it's a lot of pounding, you know, on your knees. And so, you know, there, you may already be sore at Phantom Ranch. And some people, you know, like some of Brian's, like Eli, some of those guys, yeah, they were just like, they could probably run it no problem, or rim to rim to rim. But, you know, as you go through and I think just people mentally, it's tough, you know? And so, you know, people start to struggle. And I think, and really, oh my gosh, if you're doing it in the dark coming out, you know, you can see it's defeating almost sometimes when you see these little specks of headlamps that are just doing these switchbacks and it seems so far away and so high. And you're like, I've already given this much. And, you know, so then we get to Indian Garden and there's still 4.5 miles left. And that's, you know, where I try to be real with people, because a lot of times they're like, well, we've already done 20 yeah. miles. Like, that's nothing.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And it's like, well, it's, you know, sometimes like I've been on trips where, you know, we're walking about 1 mile an hour, like 1.1 mile an hour ish. And everybody's different, but, you know, it could take you 4 hours to get out four more hours. And those are the tough hours, you know, and just going through that with people and when they finish it's just like, because an hour earlier or 2 hours before that, some they're like, there's no way I'm getting out of here. There's no way I'm going to finish this. And every client we've ever taken on the Grand Canyon that I've been a part of, and I think K2 as a whole, I mean, I can't speak for everything that happened before that, but I think just every trip we've done, we've got everybody out of the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
I know Adam and Kevin had to spend the night in the canyon one right. time and get, you know, go out the next day. But just how, just encouraging, like seeing the folks that do that, like, wow, like I was really struggling. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do that. And I did that. And then being able to take that and apply it to different parts of your life. It's like resiliency. It's being gritty, you know, it's being mentally tough, you know, and some people are like, well, I didn't feel mentally tough. I felt like I was going to die. But, you know, you step by step, you get through it and keep going until we finish. And that's like why, you know, you and I, like we love talking about this. We love doing it because it is, you know, like I said, there's a lot of different ways to kind of put yourself into that. And you have to choose to do it. You know, all of these folks, they signed up for this. They willingly put themselves in this kind of, position where this is going to be hard. We're going to suffer, you know, but, you finish that and you get through that and you're just, you know, it's just a it's that sense of just accomplishment that's just like, whoa, like, you know, what then, what's next? You know, where can I take this next? What can we do next? And so,
yeah, I think it's really a good analogy for life. You know, when you look at it, you have to have that suffering.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't get to where you were. Let's go back to, you know, when you were a wrestler, mm-hmm. you didn't jump up one day and were a state champ.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody saw all that pain.
Right.
That you had to go through, the suffering, the workouts, and, you know, all those things to get to where you're at. And everybody wants
the instant kind of gratification.
The top of the canyon without everything.
Yep.
And below, right? But that's part of that process. I mean, that's absolutely. You have to have, you know.
My dad, and I know my dad's talked to you about this. He said, I love my dad. But he talks about, you know, challenge and change.
Yep.
And he has this analogy where he draws a mountain and spells out challenge. And you take the LLE out and it spells change. And so, you know, essentially, you know, what he says is there is no significant change without challenge. You know what I mean? If you, the challenge that you put yourself in, that's what promotes the change. You know, and I think if you talk to any, you know, entrepreneur, business leader, just leader in general, everybody's, you know, been through significant challenges and suffering, and, you know, it's changed them for the better. So,
yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, you do have to have it. And I think that's why we use that cliche. When you go down, you're not the same person coming up. It's like, you have to be able to do that. It's not a problem necessarily unless you can't get out. Like, unless you don't want to get out.
And that's where we talk about the preparation and the training. Like, you have to be doing that, you know? Otherwise, you know, if you're not training, it's not the trip. You know, you really got to mentally be ready to go and physically ready to go. And it is, it's funny because I remember we were talking about this before we ever dropped into the canyon with the pavement group. And they're, you know, they're just kind of like, oh, okay, sure. And then, you know, you watch that video Marcus put together and everybody's like, that was right. And just quick shout out to Marcus, the videographer for that. Yeah. I mean, my man. He did the whole Grand Canyon holding this big camera and one trekking pole. And sometimes he'd like wrap it around and just be swinging, bouncing his leg as he trekked through the Grand Canyon. I'm like, dude, do you want me to carry that camera further? No, I got it. And he put together a great video for the Grand Canyon for us. And he might be the VIP of that trip.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that, but for sure. Yeah. He's definitely the VIP. Cause there were times I was like, oh,
when I was telling him too, like, you don't have to go, like, not everybody that goes on this trip has to do North Rim to South Rim. There's an option. You can ride the bus around and just drop in from the South Rim and, you know, go down to Indian Garden or the top of the Corkscrew or whatever. And so I was telling, you know, Marcus, and maybe you might want to do that. You can just kind of see everybody off and then kind of go down and get videos of everybody kind of coming up. He's like, oh, I'll do it. All right. And he did it, man. I was so proud of him.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, you do need that in life. I mean, I think too many people nowadays, you know, don't like to have that challenge, and that's why they don't change. Yeah. I mean, to go back to that analogy that your dad said, I mean, that's how you have to have that little bit of suffering to go up. Mm-hmm. And because when you're done, like that it fills you with purpose. It's fulfillment. It's like, cause when we got done, I mean, like all of a sudden I get this rush of energy and I'm grabbing Tammy. I'm like, let's go get our picture next to, you know, the South Rim Rock there. And, let's find Kevin and get that pizza in me. And I just couldn't stop talking after that.
Yeah.
You know, it's all this adrenaline. Like you finally got, literally we're on top again. But the reason it was so fulfilling was because you went through that challenge. Mm-hmm. You went through the canyon, you went through the valley, you know, and I'm reminded that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. The next day you will never see people so excited to be to barely be able to walk. You know, you see people getting on the bus and they're just like, oh, you know, everything's sore and they're just like, just jacked up.
Yeah.
And you saw that, bull elk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Like, Eric comes out of his hotel room. There's a bull elk in the parking lot. Yeah. Like, golly.
Yeah. That was it. And Tammy didn't believe me because she was talking to, somebody at home. And I'm like, Tammy, get out here. Cause I didn't, you don't see it just walking around in the parking lot. We don't
typically see, that in Wexford.
Yeah. But that thing was enormous. That was huge. I mean, it was really big. Hopefully people will, one of the reasons that we're doing this is to just kind of, see if people want to go again, because we love to go. I know, I talked to Brian. He's going to take group or two next year.
I mean, it's funny. Because I saw a lot of the pavement group at the Penguins game this past week that we were talking about. And I couldn't believe, like, everyone's like, I would do that again in a heartbeat, you know? And you go from, because in the beginning, everybody's pretty nervous about it. Yeah. And I think maybe just the fear of the unknown. But to like, go through that and like, yes, I cannot wait to do that again next year is exciting. And I've had employees that we've sponsored to go, and clients, and we've had, Nick has done that multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, he's come a long way. He's got all his new gear and trekking poles and everything. And so I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, everybody has their little battle. I mean, but that's, that's the challenge, told you about, Tammy's. I mean, obviously, mine's not quite as bad as that, but when you have both your knees operated on and your ankles have been broken, it's like, is this a great idea?
Yeah.
But then it comes back to, again, a lot of people say, well, why would you do that? Well, the reason is it gives you that challenge.
Yeah.
Like, we need pushed. We need to a little bit of that if we're going to improve. So whatever that is for you, whatever that Grand Canyon is for you, we all need something.
Yeah.
This is a way to get out, experience it, experience nature, which is relaxing. I mean, I don't want to say there's nothing more beautiful than the Grand Canyon, because we were out at Glacier too, it was breathtaking.
Glaciers. Man, that's hard to beat. But it's apples to oranges. You know, you can't compare the Grand Canyon to Glacier National Park to, it's mountains and valleys, but
I think the biggest thing with that, when you do that all day like that and you take that adventure, is I always come back to that saying, change a place, change a pace, change a perspective.
I love that.
It changes your perspective.
It does. And that's one of the things that because when we were in Montana, I'm like, got 1,000 different things going on at work that are like, we get out of the park and instantly my phone's like ding, 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 ding. Cause you finally get cell phone service. And it's like, oh, need to answer that, And, some good advice that I got was just, try to be present where your feet are, and that was something that I was focused on when we were, in Montana. Is like, this is gorgeous. Same thing with Grand Canyon. This is gorgeous. Like, be present, try to be present in this moment. But to your point with challenge, and this is like another thing that my dad, I don't know if you gotta have, because my dad can talk with you for probably 3 hours on this stuff. But he always used to say, if you always do what you've always done, you always be what you've always been.
Yeah.
And so you can't be stagnant. You gotta challenge yourself. That's how you grow. So,
all right. Well, we'll leave it at that, because that's a good place to end. So let's leave it on a good note there. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
You coming in. I'm sure, guys, you're gonna, see Caleb more. I just, love going to do adventures with him. We've got some things we're going to drop, either here pretty soon and, or on Vision Day. We've got some things coming up for some folks where we're going to take these adventures, make them part.
I can't wait for that.
And I'm not going to be guiding. Caleb's going to be guiding. We're going to be doing some leadership in the afternoon and in the evening. So we're going to be learning from these experiences, just like we're talking through it right here. We're going to be out and about, we're going to be taking hikes, climbing, we're going to be in the, some in the water.
We got to talk about this sometime, because it's it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
And then we're going to have a group that, you know, if you want to be part of that, just to push yourselves, you know, to have that, to push yourself, push your capacity, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, because there's a lot of growth in it. Just like we're, you know, you have to have that challenge for the change, and that's what that brings about. And that's what we were, you know, to let
that's
it out
right,
of the
baby.
Bag a little bit. You know, that's why we were, Caleb and I were just in Montana together out in Whitefish, which, man, I tell you
we
what,
we could do a whole episode. Yeah. We could do.
But, you know, just the folks out there. I mean, one, the folks out there. I mean, I felt like I was family. I didn't want
to
leave.
It is hard going to, and I know we're wrapping up, but it is hard, like, being at the airport when you're on the like tarmac or whatever, like walking outside, like going into the plane, and you're like, you know, and that sun was coming up, and it's like, oh, I'll miss you, Whitefish, you know. And then we talked to Ian, another guy that was out there, and he's like, yeah, I wanted to move as soon as I got home, you know. It's just like gorgeous place.
Well, I mean, the last night we were there, we were you know, it was just you and I going out. But the last night we were there, we're a whole table of people, kids. I mean,
yeah. And barbecue Will's coming over. You know, we were there for just a few days and had a table of friends, and everything is great.
So, you know, look for that. And, you know, next year, I know we already have the dates for that. They're not on the website yet, but was it the end of July and early August? We'll be doing that. I know you're going to be doing the canyon. I'll probably,
yeah, we got a May and September canyon trip. Kevin's 50th summit for Killy. We're trying to get a team together for that. And then Nepal, we want to go back to Nepal next year. So
yeah,
that's an awesome experience too.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll make it to Nepal. I think I'm Killy. Killy's looking good.
Killy is a great trip, and it's great, great people. I mean, I talk to our local Killy guides every week on there. We're talking on WhatsApp and Facebook, you know, so
good folks over there. So, all right, well, I'll bring you back for that too. And you're going to be part of Vision Day as
I'm
well.
Excited.
So Vision
I'm excited
Day,
to plan my vision.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Caleb's going to come up on stage with me during Vision Day and talk a little bit more, about these adventures and about the groups, that we're putting together. So, you know, that's January 20th. That's an all-day thing here, real close to us here. So January 20th, probably limit that to about 100 people. Last year we limited it to 50, and we had 50.
Ramp it up, baby.
So we could see if the boss lets us have, I think she's going to let us have 100 this year. So we'll see. But it's just a great day, just to kind of cast vision, you know, work on your goals, learn more about yourself, learn more about the people around you. It's very, extremely family oriented. We had lots of families there, just incredible things, you know, happening. Even for, you know, we had a couple younger kids there that were only, you know, 13, 14 years old, and, you know, the things that they've accomplished this year already. But anyhow, you'll be with us there. Have you on stage, and we'll go nuts and announce more of that later, and probably in another podcast. But that's all for today, folks. Thanks for watching. Really appreciate it. Hope you're getting a lot out of this. Hope you get a lot out of the conversations that we had, that he and Caleb and I have. You know, these adventures have been all around great for us. I mean, not just going out and doing it, but when we get done, you know, kind of the processing, being out where we don't have any cell service, where we just have to talk, where we're just with our thoughts, where we're just present, where we're get off the trail a little bit and see some, oh man, wow. Those waterfalls were amazing. But anyhow, really appreciate you listening and tuning in. You can find more out about us at centerforvictory.com. And just remember, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, make this your best day yet. We'll see you soon.